Good morning, everybody. My name's Tim, and you're probably wondering what that's about. It's Kite Day. I don't know if you know that or not. It is Kite Day. You know, last week, Jesus came out of the tomb, and today we're thinking of his ascension as we fly a kite. But it's for all of our families, or even some of us that are young at heart. If you want to go back there and fly a kite, knock yourselves out. The weather's perfect for it. And if you want to, just like I say, right after services, you'll see us in the back there in the field. Kids already flying kites. A few other things to let you know about. My wife wanted to make sure I mentioned this. Denise said, make sure you mention the ladies' retreat. The ladies' retreat is 2 weeks away. Yeah, it's only 2 weeks away. And church, we need you to start signing up, especially you ladies. Please start signing up for this. Connie Ehrsman is going to be a guest speaker, and she's going to be doing a fantastic job. She's very excited about joining us here in a couple of weeks up here. Also, we had a baptism last night. It was Caitlin Wolf. Caitlin, stand up. There she is. Lots of praying, lots of exciting things like that. I'm very excited for Caitlin. Very excited that she's made Jesus her Lord. And so, if you don't know the backstory, or we want to know what's going on, talk to the family. They're beaming and they're excited. So, and we are too. So, we're starting a new series, and you're probably wondering, why is there a Volkswagen on the bulletin cover? Because it's the first mega small car that was ever invented. It was designed by an 18-year-old back in 1920 something. He was actually designing this car. And then, Porsche, we all know as a sports car manufacturer, took this design and started manufacturing this car around the prototype. I think it was in 1934. And then, of course, the tarnishment on this car, Adolf Hitler wanted this car to be the national car of the nation. And after World War II, to get the country on its feet, they ramped up production of the VW, the Volkswagen. That was what the people called it. It was called the people's car. It was the largest selling vehicle for decades. It dominated the car market for 60 years. This was the small car. What a big impact it's made. And yet it's a small car. I had a Volkswagen. My mother used to drive it, and then I got to drive it after my brother got done with it. And a lot of fun. It had a sunroof. We used to drive through Main Street in Albion and throw water balloons at people as we're driving along. I know you can't do that today, but, you know, two bad things have changed. It's a lot of fun. And I've talked to some of you, and some of you remember probably having a Volkswagen and maybe even have one today. I know Bob Quick has a Herbie, and we have had that car here several times. And what are we looking at here then? Well, we're calling this series The Power of Small. I'm very excited about this series because we're going to be looking at the tiny things that make a big difference in life. Our teaching team, which consists of Gary and Alan and Mike and myself right now, we're going to be doing this for several weeks. And we're very excited about looking at the things that are in the Bible that are small. Now, when you think of the word small, is there a phrase or a word, another word that comes to mind? I was talking to Debbie Weiler and I were talking, and we've thought the same thing. You're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me, Smalls. But maybe you can think of a phrase or a word that is another word for small, or a phrase that has the word small in it. Let me give you a few moments. Talk about it. Come up with some, okay? You're on your own. Itty bitty. Okay, what are some words that you think of when you think the word small? Shout them out. Itsy bitsy what? Microscopic. Can't even be seen with the naked eye. Teeny tiny. Teeny tiny. Tiny. What was that? Minute? Minuscule? Little? Any phrases? Fun size. There you go. Remember the... And they've gotten smaller, by the way. Have you noticed that? They're now down to like a half a candy bar. That's half the fun. Okay? So anybody else? What else do you think of? A phrase. What's a phrase you think of? Shout it out. Small things make a big difference. It's a small world. What'd you say? She said, okay. Anybody else? Another phrase? Aim small, miss small from the Patriot. I love that. Yes, Mark. What'd you say? Enjoy the little things in life. Yes. Small what? Is that a term I'd ever heard? Small what?
Chihuahua.
Oh, I've heard of that. Man, I'm not bad hearing. What's that? Tiny but mighty. I think of Mighty Mouse. That was a popular cartoon when I was a kid. Here I come to save the day. Yeah. Big things come in small packages. Okay. We think of phrases. We think of the word small. You're going to get a lot of different ideas. Let me give you a list here on your notes. Look at this. Here's one. Small can describe size. We just heard several of those words, if you remember. Little, micro, narrow. That's a small opening. We back in the back right now with the kids. Nathan and I built this menacing-looking, scary tree. We're into scaring our children here at Greater Alton. Just want you to know. So it's got a narrow little, like a knot that they're having to walk through to go into this room. And they're doing a series on the prophets. So small can describe size. It can also describe value. In other words, it's just a small thing. It's insignificant, or it's trivial, or it's minor. Small can also define amounts. I love that fun size, James. I think it's, yeah, amounts. Measly, fraction. It's lacking. These are small portions. Small can communicate likelihood. There's a small chance that's going to happen, or a slim chance that might happen. Or there's a slight chance for rain. A small chance, in other words. Small can describe condition. Tiny, petite, and fragile. Right now, my grandchildren, they have small dogs, and one of them's Archer, little bitty guy. Be careful. Be soft. Why? Because he's such a little bitty guy. He's fragile. He's weak. With this condition, small can refer to actions, like a gesture, a small gesture, or a small act, or gesture of appreciation, or a small act, or a small step. These are ways we use this word small. I Googled synonyms for small, and there were pages and pages and pages of words we use. Sometimes small is used to describe things that are hidden. Like I said, we can't see with the naked eye. They're so small, they get unnoticed. Another word for small is atomic. I'm reading a book called Atomic Habits, and by James Clear. And if you've, Melissa Gill was reading, I found out she had read it already, and I am highly recommending this book. Especially if you've got a lot of Bible knowledge, because you're going to find scriptures leaping out at you. He doesn't even refer to a Bible verse, but it's filled with Bible implication. And he talks, here's how he defines atomic. The first definition is an extremely small amount of a thing. And look at the second definition, the source of immense energy and power. He's saying that an atom, and when I say atom, what's the word you think of when you think of atom? Bomb. Powerful. Split an atom and you can knock out a city. It's so powerful, yet it's so tiny. And the Bible has this, that you, if you read the scriptures, you notice this idea of small. The Bible's got lots and just type in the word small in Bible Gateway, or little, or tiny in other translations. And you're going to be amazed how many Bible references. And then you begin to use some of the synonyms I've just described for you, and you're going to find lots and lots of references to small things in the Bible. And at the same time, you're going to see this connection. Not only are they small, but there's also some might and power in these small things. The Bible mentions things like nations, small nations. Israel started as a small nation. Animals, or small animals. Insects, it mentions people, small children. A small stone in the hands of a man of faith took down a giant. You see the small and the power combined there. The Bible talks about a single seed, a mustard seed, a small seed, or a small sprout, or a few fish and a few loaves, or a cup of water, a small cup of water. It covers everything from small steps to small habits, and they all have this power connected to them. I'm excited about this series because I've underestimated small. There's great power and impact in small. Why does the Bible talk about this so much? Why is this so important? We go through this series, and it's so important that you be involved in this series and you come back every week and we learn together about this stuff. Well, the Bible describes and mentions small things many times for four reasons. Let me give you four. Number one, God teaches me big lessons through small. There's big lessons when he brings up the small stuff. Here in Proverbs 30, there are four creatures on earth that are very small, but they're very wise and we can learn from them. He says, there's small things you can learn from. There's big lessons there. Proverbs 6, look at the ant. He's talking to somebody who's lazy. Look at the ant. Watch him closely. Let him teach you a thing or two. And we learn things. And we do. We learn things even today. Scientists and biologists and all kind of education is centered around animal behavior. We learn so many things about ourselves by looking at animals. But Jesus taught a lot of big lessons using small as his theme. He taught big lessons about the kingdom. Look at this passage. Then Jesus told another story. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. He says the kingdom of God, the big encompassing kingdom of God, is like a small seed that a man planted a field. That seed is the smallest of all seeds, Jesus says. But when it grows, it's one of the largest garden plants. It becomes big enough for the wild birds to come and build nests in its branches. He's talking about the kingdom of God, what God rules. He's including the church in this. That the church is an outpost of the kingdom that's designed what? It's big enough for people to come. Somebody says, do we want a big church? All I know is bigger better? Well, Jesus says it's supposed to grow. The church is supposed to grow. I know some of us here, we're interested in having a growing relationship with Jesus, but not interested in a growing church. You cannot separate the two. That if you're not interested in investing and giving and helping the church grow, you're cutting yourself short. Because Jesus wants his kingdom to grow. And he says it can be such a small seed. I remember when this church used to fit in a living room in a basement. Now it's all over the place. He also teaches lessons on faith. Gary is going to be preaching this passage in this series. If your faith were only the size of a mustard seed, Jesus answered, it would be large enough to uproot that mulberry tree over there and send it hurling into the sea. Your command would bring immediate results. He says, if you just had this much faith. And Gary's going to be talking about that next week. He also talks about the heart or our character. And he uses a small child. Look at this passage. Jesus called a small child over to him and set the little fellow down among them and said, unless you turn to God from your sins and become as little children, you will never get into the kingdom of God. He says it's important that we become like little kids. I'm reading another book called Family Unfriendly. I highly recommend this book to every family here that's got small, especially small children. And the author, it just came out a couple weeks ago, the author is making a case that what's happening to our families is our culture is making it difficult for us to raise our kids, and we're buying into this crazy culture. But he talks about this idea of because the media, and we're being bombarded with this message that the world is bad, the world is bad, the world is bad. As parents, we hover over our children and we seldom let them be alone because we're afraid there's a molester around the corner, a pervert at school. So the helicopter parenting took root and flourishes in America today. And he says it's killing our kids' development. That sometimes we need to let the kids just do their kid thing. But one of the things he said is, whenever you start thinking the world is bad, and by the way, the election's not going to fix it. I'm going to make it straight up here. Vote, 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 vote. Yes, but the election's not going to fix it. Only Jesus Christ can fix what's broken. If you go to a mechanic and he's always breaking, you take his and his car keeps breaking down, don't go to that mechanic anymore. Going to the world to fix your problems will not work. Only the designer of you can fix you. But he goes on to say this idea, because if you ever wonder if the world is bad, just look at a child. They're just good.
Well, you don't know my kids.
You don't know my grandkids. Then, I mean, I got some that really test that statement. The other day, one of them's learning to play the piano. Denise is going to teach him using the same that red piano book, you know, that Thompson. Yeah, I knew that Mark would know. And she got hers out, its old ratty thing. And I remember when I had it, and I took piano lessons for about 2 weeks. And she's going to teach one of our grandkids, and so they're pounding on the piano. And she goes, so she asks him, so what do you want to do? What songs do you want to learn? She goes, well, you're the teacher. I'm the student. You decide. Oh, how refreshing. Oh, if we would talk like that. Jesus, you're the teacher. I'm the student. You know, leader, you're the teacher. Help me learn this. He says, if you want to, he teaches a big lesson, brings up a kid. He says, this little kid's outdoing you. Become like this child. Oh, no, that's insignificant. That's small. That's nothing. Oh, it's very significant. Jesus teaches big lessons. We're going to be looking at things like this. I want you to know this morning, Jesus is going to teach you some big, powerful lessons in this series. I don't know if it's today or it's next week or when Alan starts talking about the narrow gate or the yeast that goes through a whole lump, or if it's Mike Denius talking about little things like the insignificant things we overlook. I don't know what it's, or small groups. I don't know which, or when I talk about small steps, these are some of the things we're talking about. The power of a small step. It's amazing. Just one step. What it can do to your life. God is going to teach you something in this series. And I hope you'll make that commitment to say, you know what? I'm going to look for it. I'm going to listen for it. And I'm going to find that small thing that's teaching me something. Oh, I need to hear this. This isn't for my husband. This isn't for my kids. This isn't for mom and dad. Oh, no, this is right here. It's for me. Number two, why does God talk about small things so much? Well, besides that he wants to teach big lessons, he also wants me to know this, that he can do big things through the small. God does huge, big things with small stuff. See, we underestimate things. That's no big deal, we say. Or that won't amount to much, we'll say. We emphasize the smallness, and God says, oh. Or that little thing won't hurt. That won't hurt me. We minimize it. We minimize sinful habits, stupid decisions, a major decision. Oh, that's not that big a deal. Or don't worry about it. God says they're all big. In that smallness, the potential is alarming. See, he sees opportunity in the small, and he sees potential in the small. And one of the things he knows is this. He displays his power best in small things. One time, the Midianites have taken over Israel, and they're just the scourge of Israel. And nobody can have a decent night's sleep. I mean, they're coming, they come through your home, they ransack you through your cupboards, they're eating all your food, they're just having their way with whoever in every village and every home. And God says, he's hearing the outcry of the people and judges, and he finally goes, I'm going to do something about it. I got a big job. I need to have somebody lead an army to defeat the Midianites. And he goes and he finds a guy threshing wheat underground. If you know anything about threshing wheat, that's not a smart thing to do. And so he's doing this because he doesn't want anybody to know he's got some food. And God says to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon is like, what? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. He's a farmer. And here's Gideon's response. Look what he says there. Because he says, I want you to save Israel. He goes, how can I save Israel? behold, look, he's saying, look at my family. Look at me. He says, my family's the least in Manasseh. He's saying, it's the smallest. And then he says, I'm the youngest in my father's house. I'm the runt. He's talking about, I'm the runt of the bunch. Yet the Lord, look what the Lord's response is. He says, I will certainly be with you, and you'll defeat Midian as one man. He says, I will certainly be in your smallness, Gideon. You are mighty when I'm with you. If you feel small sometimes and insignificant, I know I've heard, listen, I'm 66 and a half, and there's times I go, I'll be 67 in June. Maybe it's time to put me out to pasture. I get that. There's times you go, man, am I making any difference? Maybe you feel that way in your home. Maybe you feel that way where you are, and you're going, I don't even know. If I was gone, nobody would notice. I got news for you. Jesus said a sparrow, a spatsy is what we called him as kids, a regular old common sparrow can hit the ground and God knows it. And I'm going to tell you, the God who's numbered the very small, tiny hairs on your head knows. And by the way, I know some of you are concerned about the hair on your head. I looked at Floyd, sorry. You know, the hairs on our heads, you know. How many do I have? Well, it's a bad joke. The point I'm going to make is, if you feel insignificant, God's counted the hairs on your head. You're that significant to Him. And in His hands, you're powerful. Whatever you're facing right now, you have at your disposal the power of God when you bring your smallness to Him. Gideon says, okay, I'll go. And so he gets a lot of soldiers, thousands of them. God says, you're too big. Huh? You're too big. And he whittles them down to 300. Why? He said, because if you read the story again, he says, God says, look, if you have too big an army, it's going to look like you're the one that did it. I've got to show everybody that I'm the one behind this, that I'm giving you the power. In 1 Kings, you've got a fellow by the name of Elijah. He's a prophet. And it's not rained for 7 years because Ahab is a rotten king and God is coming down on the kingdom of Israel. Finally, Elijah starts to pray. He says, I'm going to start praying that it starts to rain. And he prays. He says, tells the servant, go out and look and see if there's anything going on. Anything. The sky is clear. Nothing. Go again. Nothing. 7 times he sends the servant out. And the 7th time, the servant comes back after Elijah's been praying, and look what the Bible says. The 7th time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, and go down before the rain stops. It's a downpour. Ahab is trying to get home, and it's raining cats and dogs on him. And it started with what? A cloud as big as your fist. It's lunchtime in the day of Christ. 5,000 have gathered. And he doesn't want to send them away. He wants them to stick around. He goes, hey, let's feed these guys. And all the disciples are going, there's no way, there's no way. Then Andrew, you know, he's the one that's thinking. He goes, hey, look what I found. And look at this. He says, there's a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And then he says, but that's a drop in the bucket for this crowd. What's he saying? It's too small. Absolutely. He says, make the people sit down. And as they sit down, there's 5,000 of them, the Bible says here. He took the bread and having given thanks, gave it to all those that were seated. And he did the same thing with the fish. Look what it says there. All ate as much as they wanted. And verse 14 reveals the power that's behind the small. The people realized that God was at work among them in what Jesus had just done. Church, when you give God, you say, I don't have a lot, give it to Him and watch what He does with it. There's an old song called Little Is Much When God Is In It. It is so true. This story proves that. When you give God the little you have, I don't have a lot of money, just give it, dedicate it to Him. I don't have a lot of time, dedicate it to Him. Watch what He does with it. I don't have a lot of talent, dedicate that talent and watch what He does with it. He'll do something powerful in that small. But there's a third reason He's got this idea of smallness, and He wants us to see it throughout the Scriptures, and that is that tiny things can make a big difference. In fact, I think somebody actually said that in the crowd. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, tiny things make a big difference, and they do. I was in Raleigh yesterday. Little Prairie Bible Camp's ramping up. There's a work day this Saturday down there, and if you'd like to go, talk to Brian right there. And Andrew, are you anywhere? Where's Andrew at? Andrew Osborne. There he is. These two guys here, if you want to know a little bit more about it, they're going down to help. And then there's another work day on May the 4th. That's a big one to get everything really ready. And Andrew's planning on going down there that weekend. If you'd like to join, we'd love to have a great turnout of people to go down there. And you say, well, what's the work day like? Andrew's been there several times. Brian's been there several times. They can tell you all about it, what it's about. But I was there yesterday with my wife, Denise. And as we were there, Seth McDowell, who used to be a camper back in the late 80s, early 90s. I remember when I was there for the first time, he was a senior in high school. And he is now, that's almost 35 years ago. I'm sure I feel old. And here he is. He looks like an old man. He looks like an old guy. And he shares some thoughts about why people should contribute to Little Prairie Bible Camp. And he takes all the pictures from the 70s to now. He just randomly takes pictures, puts them up on PowerPoint, and he circles them and tells them about, let me tell you about this person here. Because we're all connected at Little Prairie Bible Camp. This person here is a missionary over here. This person here is planting churches. This person here is an evangelist. This person here is working with kids in Honduras. This person here has raised a family, and their daughter, their son, is over here in Africa doing some stuff. This person here has been teaching and is now a leader in the church. And he finally has this one group, and the circles just keep going and going and going and going and going. He said, because we all, it sends chills down me. Because church camp changed my life. It literally changed my life. It gave me hope. And I thought to myself, how many people that he didn't circle, the thousands of kids that have went to this church camp, that what are they doing now? Yeah, some of them aren't godly. Yeah, some of them have left God, but a lot of them have went on to raise great families and are working. I've got a counselor this year named Allie Mace, and she's in Kansas City, and she's part of the board, drives to Rolla, 5-hour drive. She goes, I got to get back because I'm teaching a Bible class. She's teaching a Bible class right now. And she used to be I remember when she was a little bitty camper, 9 years old. And we see this, and Seth mentioned this idea called the butterfly effect. You ever heard of that thing? What an interesting thing. It's from this a fella by the name of Edward Lorenz, who talked about the chaos theory. And it was when he first introduced this idea, people laughed him out of the symposium. Now they've come around because of what he experimented with. He's a mathematician. We're able to predict with somewhat accuracy the weather for 2 weeks, 10-day forecast. That's where it came from, was this guy. And what he believed was, he believed that a butterfly fluttering its wings disturbs the atmosphere enough that it eventually reaches on the other side of the world into a storm of some sort. That this little butterfly effect. And metaphorically, it's been used today to describe one small act, one small thing I do has a tremendous impact later in life. My mom sent me to church camp, made me go, forced me to go. And I'm behind the stage thanking God. Why am I doing this, Lord? This all started with you getting me to church camp with a preacher's kid. And that's the worst people you want to be with in church camp, is a preacher kid. And this one was a bad one, okay. But listen to this. This is what the butterfly effect as described I found this morning. The butterfly effect, a well-known illustration of chaos theory, highlights that small, unpredictable events can have significant and far-reaching consequences within the world. The most notable example of this concept states that a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil can set off a chain of weather patterns on the other side of the world. And then it goes on to say this, in everyday life, the butterfly effect serves as a metaphor for understanding how our actions and decisions, no matter how small, can have profound and unforeseen impact on the world around us. The Bible talks, God agrees. He says little things matter, and he says they make a big difference. Look at these passages with me. Here's one in Song of Songs. This is one Mike Dennis is going to talk about. Catch the foxes for us. This is a couple that's in love. This is a couple that's in love, Song of Solomon's about. And he says, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, our vineyard is now in bloom. He says, we got to catch those little things that ruin our relationships. It's not that big a deal. Just because she does this or just because he does that. No, it's a big deal because it can destroy and spoil the garden. The human tongue, James says, is physically small. Well, what tremendous effect. You guys agree with that one? Let me tell you, this week we had some stuff happen. You know, every company has gossip going on. And if you want to know a story, my brother tells it best. He'll tell you exactly, just to walk up to him and say, tell me the story about the Bad News Bears. That's all I'm going to say. Over two words. Or three words. Bad News Bears got us in trouble with a client. Let him tell you the rest of it. Oh, how many times has this little thing got you in trouble? Absolutely. They make a big difference. The Bible says a gentle tongue can break a bone. How good is a timely word? Yeah, we know that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Really? Really? I beg to differ. And look at this in Galatians 5. Alan's going to be talking about this concept of yeast. He was sharing a little bit with me behind stage about what he's going to do. Only a small amount of yeast in the flour will cause a loaf of bread to grow big. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, this idea about small stuff, we really need to look at it. Because tiny things do make a big difference. If you're wanting to fly, in the book Atomic Habits, James Clear says this, if you want to fly from L.A. to New York and you just move 3.5 degrees south, 3.5 degrees, if that's about 86, 87 inches, you're moving the nose. You end up 200 miles away from New York, you're landing in Washington, D.C., He says, his whole premise is that if we could just improve ourselves by 1%, if I could just make some decisions that would just improve myself by 1%, amazing stuff will, breakthroughs will suddenly happen over time. I got to be patient because I'm doing these in increments. Bob Hawkins used to say, he'd say this to me, inch by, yard by yard's too hard, by inch is a cinch. And it's true. The Bible talks about this idea of taking little steps. And ultimately making a huge impact. Those tectonic plates that are shifting around right now, they shift around constantly. We don't notice them. And all of a sudden, boom, earthquake. What happened? Over time, all those little things that we do end up, we have a breakthrough. Something crazy happens. We can't say it's a particular step because they're all little. Or a particular choice we made, but they ended up making a huge difference. And they do make a huge difference in our life. And see, these little decisions that you and I make, I've been around long enough to know this is true. Little decisions make a big difference in our life. A proverb says something about a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and destruction will come upon you quickly like an armed robber. He's saying over time, a little bit of this and a little bit of that leads to something big. But not just bad stuff. A little bad habits lead to some stuff. Establishing one little habit, making one little choice can lead to something huge. Something life-changing. Some of you here, I want you to know, I know some of you are visiting or you've come back. You said, you know what? I'm going back to church. That's a big deal. No, it's not, Tim. It really isn't. We just decided one day and it's a little bitty thing about that big. Don't you understand? You just changed the game. What's your next step? Because you just made an impact on your family. You just made an impact on your spouse. You just made an impact on everybody here. We are a better church because you decided to come here. Man, that's a little decision, Tim. Yeah, but man, it's a big one. Oh, I'm going to go to small group. I'm going to go or I'm not going to go to small group. That's a small, big choice. Oh, I'm going to start going to group. Are you sure? Are you crazy? No, I really want to go. I'm going to start going to small group. I want to get serious. I want to take the next step. It's a big deal. Your life is going to change. Oh, it may not notice it here and there along you, but all of a sudden, one day, after all these little times you've decided to go to group, or you decided to open up your Bible, or you decided to say a little prayer. Talking to a grandmother this morning. Can I tell you something about Mom? Randy Travis has a song called When Mama Prays. I said, Mom, that's you. That's Grandma is Mama's prayers on steroids. You don't want to mess with Grandma. My, oh, my. And they're not these big, long, lengthy, Lord, blah, 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 blah. No, they're little bitty short, God, would you just do this? Would you do this? She's telling me how she reminds herself to pray for her grandkids. Little bitty, little things like, oh, I saw that. Lord, would you just be with them? Could you help them take a step? Lots of little prayers, and then we see a breakthrough. We see a grandchild. All of a sudden, things begin to shift. Things begin to happen. And then like a tectonic plate. And all of a sudden, boom, what happened? And we're singing around a circle. Don't underestimate the small things. Tiny things can make a big difference. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read a book. I'm just going to read a book. I made a decision a few months ago. I said, you know, I want to be more informed about homelessness. So I've been reading about homelessness. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's a real issue. And people are hurting. And thank God we've got this thing called CIA. Thank God we've got Compassion in Action. Because churches like to talk about it, but they don't do much. And we're just the tip of the iceberg. But it's a small thing. Someone said, you know what? Time to get serious about this. It changes lives. And what about a small act of kindness? A small act just to look somebody in the eye. Today I was trying to look people in the eye more. And I notice when they look in the eye, I watch them smile a little bit. Because when I'm looking away, they're not smiling. Or listening. Or I didn't hear that. Instead of going, move, next, move, next. I want to listen. I really want to listen. Why? Because what am I communicating? Something bigger than what they're saying? Yeah. You're saying, I notice you. You're worth noticing. You're worth paying attention to. And church, just a small act of kindness can make such a big difference. And last of all, and by the way, I was going to say to you before we do this point, on the 17th this month, we're starting a small groups class. It's going to be team taught by Mike Denius, Richard Harders, and Nathan Gill. They're going to be teaching. And I want to encourage you to if you're a small group leader, to take that class. But if you're interested in helping your small group grow, show up on Wednesday on the 17th. I believe it's 6:30 is when that first class will happen. And so it's 6 weeks long, and you will be greatly rewarded for that, all right? So why? Because tiny things make a big difference. We know our small groups can make a big difference. Here's number four. God will bless my attention to the small. I've been around long enough to know. I noticed this, that God seems to, maybe I notice it more now, that it seems like the small things God blesses more than he does the big things. Because everybody's talking about, we're going to do big things. Oh, you'll hear me from the pulpit. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. And let me tell you, whenever you see hear some preacher talking about, do big things, we're going to do big things, we need to do big things. When I'm saying it, remember, it's in the context of, we got a lot of small things we need to do. Because God will bless the small things. That's what leads to the big things. Look at what he says here in Luke. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with small things can also be trusted with big things. He goes, You come in and serve coffee. You come and clean up the building. You come, you show up for a small group, but I don't talk. I show up. Show up and shut up. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You'll eventually open up. You'll eventually talk. You'll eventually, because you can't stay still. God doesn't want you to stay the same. He wants you to grow. And so these little steps get you there. Next thing you know, look how far I've come. Instead of going, oh, look how far I got to go, look how far I've come. And it's been a series of small steps, and God blesses those. He says, whoever can be trusted with small things can be trusted with big things. Whoever is dishonest with little things will be dishonest with big things too. It's a double-edged sword. If I take small, poor steps, make small, poor decisions, it's going to cost me. But man, when I start doing the small, when I start focusing on the small, and just be trustworthy and faithful in what's in front of me, God says, you know what? I want to trust you with this now. I need you. I think you can do this now. God believes in you, church. There's no atheists in heaven. Well, yeah. And He believes in human beings. He believes in you. Strongly. And He'll bless you when you give your attention to the small. Look at this. I love this passage. But small is the gate. Alan's talking about this one. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. But I want you to notice, circle that leads to life. Look at that. Small is the gate and narrow is the road. And where does it lead to? Life. Blessing. Blessings. Only a few find it though. What about that, Tim? Well, why? Why are you only a few find it? Because they're not looking at the small. They think it's insignificant. When I make the small significant, I find life. Jesus promises life. I love this passage. Well done. I long to hear this. Well done, my good servant. His master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. God will bless you whenever you focus on the small stuff. I love this last passage. Even a small act of kindness, look what he says. Give a cup of cold water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. He's saying you're a true follower, a true disciple. You won't lose out on a thing. You won't be disappointed. Even a small act of kindness to someone, encouraging word, a look, a word, or a touch does wonders. We're going to close the lesson out. I want you to watch this video.
Can you see it? There's so much great found in the small. A full life of potential in a heartbeat. A massive tree in an acorn. Trillions of atoms in a speck of dust. So much set in a look. So much history in a scar. So much comfort in silence. The faith to move mountains in a seed. The greatest gift in pennies. A timeless sacrifice in a few breaths. The greatest of man in a servant. The universe is great in the small. Stars 1,000 times the size of Earth, just specks in the sky. Salvation in the simplest of prayers. The gift of eternity in an instant. Freedom from bondage in a choice. Fullness of life in the darkest of times. Power of resurrection in a word. The greatest significance in the smallest of steps. Can you see it? May we all come to see the great in the small.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for paying attention to the small. I know there's times when we have felt small, but you notice, you see us, you see the bigness inside. How you want to draw it out. So God, we pray that during this series, as we learn about the power in the small and the small things, help us truly see the tiny, how good and how big the tiny can be when we come to you and give our smallness to you. Father, I know there's lots of decisions going to be being made during this time. A lot of choices are going to be made during this series. And Father, I pray that you'll lead us to the right passages and the right stories and the right points to where we can learn as a church the greatness, your power, and experience your power in every small decision, every small moment that we encounter. We praise you and thank you, Father, so very much for the butterflies in our past that fluttered by faith and touch us now. And we pray, Father, that we'll pass on like the butterfly effect by living for you some idea, some gesture, some act of love that will touch eventually our children's children, someone on the other side of the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Turn my heart, O Lord, like rivers of water.
I rest my life.
the man.